We discussed last night, Besiat Vishmaya, the halachas of the first night in particular. What happens if it rains? How long do we need to wait? And why does we need to wait? Etc. Today we're going to be... Pardon? Today we're going to be looking at different aspects, which is not necessarily relating to the first night. So again, we have to switch mode now. We're not discussing the first night necessarily. Sivov, top of page 210 in our editions of the Mishnah Berurah, top of page. What happens if he's eating in the sukkah and it rains? And he enters the house. And then it stops to rain. So it rained, he went in, and then it stopped raining. Familiar scenario, Rabbi Sainz, are familiar with you? I mean, that's what happens by default, no? So, we're not forcing him to go out into the sukkah again. Until he completes the meal. He doesn't have to go out again. Why so? Why so? Mishnah Berurah says, because it's mitzvah. We're not asking him to go back in. Now, it's because it's just he slept everything in, so we're not asking him to go back into the sukkah. What happens though if you've got an easy way of opening and closing the sukkah? Will you say the same or not?
You should.
Yeah. This is an important point to make. This is only because the tircha is very great. If you have everything to schlep into the house, and now it's stopped already, now you want to schlep everything back into the sukkah, that is what we call in good English, it's a big schlep, it's a big tircha. And that you don't have to do. However, if all you need to do is this action over here, then that's not tircha. So yes, you have to open again, you should open again, maybe you can say you must open again, the sukkah to enable to continue the meal now, it's not a mitzvah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you don't have to be. Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure. So, contrary to what the Shulchan Aruch says, in our sukkahs, we probably have to ensure that we complete the meal in the sukkah. Contrary to what the Shulchan Aruch says.
Why does the Shulchan Aruch speak about this dafka where you were eating in the sukkah? What if you weren't eating in the sukkah? Machlas kesham. In other words, you start your meal in the house. That doesn't change the thing, does it?
Yeah, no, it's la'afuke, what the Mishnah was saying. So what if he hasn't started eating at all yet? So if he hasn't started eating, if it's like, he's hesitant, it's like touch and go and everything, and he says, you know what, we're going to eat at home. Looks like it's like rainy and everything, we're going to eat inside. Not in the sukkah. And then he starts, he sets out the table and everything, and he's about to make kiddush, and suddenly he realized that actually there is no rain now. You can eat in the sukkah. In such an instance, you'd be obligated to eat in the sukkah, because he hasn't started the suda yet. So the point is, has he started the suda or not? Yeah. So what happens in a similar case if it's starting to rain whilst he's sleeping in the sukkah? So it's raining when he's sleeping in the sukkah, and he enters the house now, and now it stops raining. As soon as he takes everything into his bedroom and everything, and suddenly he sees, and it's not a good idea. Don't check if it's raining. That's advice number one. But if he's checked and it really has stopped raining, then he should he can stay. He don't have to go back into the sukkah. In matrichen, can you see the word again? In matrichen oyselach to the sukkah. It's a great tircha to schlep everything back out. It's not just the schlep; it's also the emotional blockage. I know not everybody's as you said. You sleep better in the sukkah than in the yeah. But there's that thing of going back into the sukkah, into the cold and everything. You don't have to. Once you're in, once you went with justification, with right, you went into the house, it was raining in the sukkah, you do not have to go back in to sleep, to continue sleeping in the sukkah. Kol oiso alaylo the entire night. Elo, rather, yoshem beveisoy, you can sleep in the house, av shiyale moshech until the morning, and on the mishnos, not then you wake up as usual, and you don't have to worry about the fact that it stopped raining. The Mishavua speaks out and says, "Cotton man, but after Shochav Kvad, it's only if he lie down. But if you haven't lie down yet, he's just in the process of getting comfortable. Then Yachzor LeSukkah, he should go back in the Sukkah if it stopped raining. So again, it started raining. It was in the Sukkah. He goes out the Sukkah and goes into his bedroom, and he wants to sleep now. Part two, he wants to sleep in his bed." If he is gone to sleep or he's gone to bed already properly, then he can stay there, whatever happens, even if it stops raining. However, if by the time he goes, he lies down in bed, he checks and he sees that he hasn't actually gone to bed yet, he sees that it stopped raining, he should go back outside. Because the tikh is not so great.
This is like there's a weather pattern where it's going to rain and it's going to stop.
Yeah, a good point. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I'm not sure. I don't know.
That's a really
question,
what if it's a good question? What if it's a pattern? Yeah, it stopped raining. It started raining, stopped raining, stopped raining, stopped raining. And it looks like it's going to continue like this for the rest of the night. You could probably argue that the reason why I'm hesitant to say that it's fine to stay indoors is because of the Mishnah we saw yesterday of that other part of the Sukkah. That you look very much at the matzah the way it is now. But I'm not sure that will apply to sleeping as well. So it could be that. You might be right that this justification of staying inside. Until the morning. It just means until the morning. But that's when people normally wake up.
Why did you just say
Ashiyah? Yeah, it means doesn't mean literally the halach of. It means that's when people woke up. People didn't wake up at 11 a.m.
It doesn't mean that if I wake up earlier than 9,
no, it doesn't mean that. No, it means clearly. It means, imagine as the Rambam seems to explain it, the Mishnah means referring to waking up. Mishnah says, "Got Mem Gimel," is very, very important. The Mishnah says, "Until he wake up." Perish Me'atzmoi. When Tzorich Lakitz, you don't need to wake him up. Gamim Mechuyov Limsa Shnosa Lachem Shekutzuk Sheroyim. Just because it's day now, it doesn't mean that you have to wake up or you have to wake him up. It's you can continue sleeping until your normal time, which normally and the fact you're indoors, despite the fact that it's good weather now, it's not a problem. There is a question which the Pshem Zalman and other Achronim ask. Avi Asher was also asked about that. What is the halacha if a person falls asleep outside of the sukkah? Imagine somebody falls asleep outside a sukkah. Say, for instance, in shul.
Lift him up, put him in the bed.
Oh, very good. Well, I want to speak about that in a minute as well. Well, it's good. It's good. Ponvot Shiva. We'll get to that. Do you? Before you give that a good answer, I want to ask: is there a halacha that you must wake him up? Is there a halacha you must wake somebody up because he's sleeping? Again, Abba Yisrael, we discussed a few nights ago that there is a distinction between sleeping outside of the sukkah and eating outside of the sukkah. With regards to eating, we said there is the difference between achilas kva, achilas arai, that snack is okay outside the sukkah, a main meal sure is not okay outside of the sukkah. However, contrary to eating, the sleeping is different because there's no such thing as a snack sleep. You're either sleeping or you are not. So therefore we learned that even the Shulchan Aruch said explicitly, even a small nap, even a small little dozing off is also outside of the sukkah. The question therefore is as follows. If a person, you see a person dozing off, you see a person sleeping, you see a person, you know, instead of learning with Chavusa, his Chavusa didn't show up and he's just going to sleep or whatever it is, he just fell asleep. Do you have to wake up a yid who has fallen asleep outside of the sukkah? Yes or no?
No,
ain't so like it. So why not?
There might be reason to sleep outside.
Okay,
you
so
might
saying
be very annoyed.
You might. You're saying pikuach nefesh. You might pikuach nefesh. Yeah.
It's like getting a person out of bed for Kriyas Shema. It's going to be.
You're saying you don't have to.
There you would, but if you know the person, but if you really don't know this person, then.
Then leave him alone. Lit sleeping lines. What's the expression? Sleep is no sleep. Yeah, you want to just keep out of problems. Yeah, the Achronim will say it's probably It's it may be true. It may be more true to say that in Eretz Yisrael that people are probably more because of the weather. And generally, the minhag hamakom is much more. You know, people sleep. It's probably true to say that there's more people sleeping in the sukkah than here. Just the weather alone is more accommodating. So there is many achronim of Yashiv, Reb Shlomo Zalman, who are really questioning that. If somebody does fall asleep, you know that he doesn't want to sleep. He doesn't want to sleep out of it. He won't sleep in sukkah only. So should you wake him up? Yes or no? And there's a strong argument that you should wake him up because that's not what he wants. But I think it's true to say the consensus, generally the achronim, the paskin, that you don't wake him up because it's not, when somebody eats something also, you're going to tell him, you know, you're eating something else, you know. But when it comes to sleeping outside the sukkah, there's various reasons why a person may be sleeping outside the sukkah, therefore, you should leave him alone. But this goes now into your question. If a person sleeps, that's your point, if a person sleeps in the sukkah, are you allowed to take him out? Person sleeps in the sukkah, you want to take him out. I'll tell you why this is relevant. This is halacha l'maaseh, Rabbi Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, some people are not particularly wealthy, and they have smaller sukkahs. And sometimes they have smaller sukkahs and large families. And a lot of boys. And a lot of sons. And a lot of sons-in-law. And you've got the younger children who go to sleep earlier. You've got the older children who go to bed later. And there's no space for everybody in the sukkah. Younger children, very often we know, they tend to sleep very, very, they have a very, very deep sleep. Therefore, the question of Shlomo Zalman wanted to ask, is it allowed, yes or no? Listen to that interesting Shaila. Are you allowed to take out the younger children? Forget about the fact, bar mitzvah, not bar mitzvah. Are you allowed to take out children who are sleeping with an adult? That's not going to work. But are you allowed to take out sleeping individuals out of the sukkah and put them into their bedroom? This is a ma'isa, this is a Shaila which happens every single day, especially in Eretz Yisrael. People don't have large sukkahs. Porch sukkahs, etc. Not enough space for everybody. You take the young children out and you put them into the bedroom. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
It's that famous shiner that happened that someone pulled. They take into in a yeshiva.
So Ponevish. That's Ponevish yeshiva. Yeah.
Out, so they pass him that it's the mitzvah is to fall asleep in the sukkah.
Very good.
So to hear he's fallen asleep in the sukkah. So now he's.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Abu Yisrael, this is really counterintuitive because the halacha, the first halacha that we know is a Mishnah. What's the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah? It's eating, drinking, and sleeping in the sukkah. And you know, those who sleep in the sukkah, they are mekayem mitzvah, no doubt. However, you could argue, like Shlomo Zalman does, and that's the famous story of the Ponevel Shiva, that is a person who is sleeping. A person who is sleeping, is he mekayem the mitzvah? Is a sleeping person the mekayem mitzvah? Can you mekayem mitzvah when you are sleeping? So the argument is that no, you're not mekayem any mitzvah when you are sleeping. I wish you could be mekayem mitzvah when you are sleeping. You're probably not mekayem mitzvah when you are sleeping because you are elsewhere. Every mitzvah needs some sort of awareness, some level of consciousness. And they argue that you're not mekayem mitzvah. I'll go upon him. He's certainly enough of an oiness. Let's put it that way. The sleeping individual is probably on that level of oines, that if somebody else takes him out from the sukkah into his bedroom, that he's not done anything wrong. He hasn't done an issa. He hasn't done the issa of sleeping outside his sukkah because he was his oiness. So it is a strong argument to say, I think it's very interesting, that the falling asleep is the mitzvah, the sleeping is not really shein of a sukkah. Now that he's sleeping, he is exempt, really. He's an oiness if he's been taken out. And you could take a sleeping individual out of the sukkah into his house, and you're not really trying, you're not lifting the iva, and there's no problem because he's sleeping. He's sleeping. Halacha l'maaseh, Rabbi Yisrael, this is common halachas in Etzion in particular. But again, this was the story of the Ponevel Shiva is very famous. In Ponevel's sukkah was very small. Ponevel Shiva's sukkah was very small, and all the bochim want to sleep there, and that's what they Ponevel Shiva paskin that once they sleep, bring them in, and those rotas, you know. The first lot, the second lot, and you get it. Now, it's a famous story, a famous psak. I have trouble to believe this because in yeshiva normally you are teenage, and I just can't picture that you can slip around teenage bochim without waking them up. I just can't picture. Children certainly, but not teenagers.
Like a hospital, you know, the beds on wheels.
I just can't imagine. I don't know, a 15, 17, 18 year old bocha, he's surely going to wake up and we schlep him out.
Isn't there a certain shear they have to, about 30 minutes, have to sleep? No, because he's an oinus.
You're telling him he's an oinus. So that's what that's what he said. There isn't. I can't say everybody agrees with this psak, but it's something which is a well-known psak.
If somebody falls asleep, like after the evening meal and sukkah, and then they wake up 2 in the morning and they're sitting in there and it's cold. It's
probably mitzvah.
Have they done the mitzvah now, sleeping in the sukkah?
You can't say that they've done the mitzvah now, go home, because you've done the mitzvah. Like if shokel the lulav, now I can. It's not that. It's just that it may be on the level of mitzvah. That he's freezing cold, he's worried he's going to catch a cold, and therefore he's exempt. More that aspect, and then he's done his half an hour sleep or whatever, there is no shir. If you're sleeping, you're sleeping in a sukkah. But I say we continue. You strike. What's your point?
You've got to live the way
you. So you're saying that just like when you're sleeping in a home,
it's not the falling asleep, it's the sleeping.
What you're saying is clearly the passage of the Mishnah. Never mind the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. It's part of the Mishnah. That part of the Mishnah is sleeping in the sukkah. That's part of the mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah. Yeah, we continue. Mishu yoshen besukkah v'yoduk shomit zorech l'shaya k'dei she'is kalkila tafshel. This is actually going back to your point. Top line of page Kuvav. Mishu yoshen besukkah when he's sleeping in the sukkah. V'yoduk shomit it's raining. En zorech l'shaya. You don't have to measure, estimate exactly. B'chdei she'is kalkila tafshel. That it's raining sufficient that it's going to spoil your dish. Because by rain, people are more sensitive. When it comes to eating, people are, it's raining a bit, it's a bit drizzly, a drop here, drop there. People don't care so much. It's not the end of the world. However, when it comes to rain, when it comes to sleeping, people are much more sensitive. Would you agree to that? Yeah, if it's raining the tiny thing into your face already, you feel already you can't sleep, and therefore the shear, the level, the sensitivity, the threshold is very different. Therefore, you can go home much quicker than the level of rain when it comes to eating. Now comes the famous. Here come the famous, the very famous statement. Whoever is exempt from the sukkah, and he doesn't leave the sukkah. If he's exempt from the sukkah and he stays in the sukkah, he will not receive any reward. Do you hear those words? If it's raining and you stay in the sukkah, you're not getting any reward. And it's a silly thing to do. It's a, how should you translate the yotos? And it's foolish. It's more than ordinary. It's foolish. It's foolish. Pardon? No, because the first night you may not be potter. We said yesterday that the first night you may not be exempt. Because there is no potter of mitzvah on the first night. When you are leaving the sukkah because of the rain, don't kick, go out. Don't be like, don't do it in a aggressive way, in a violent way, in a negative way. But you leave the sukkah in a humble way. In a humble way, a bit like when a servant is pouring a drink for his master, and the master throws it back into his face, showing his disinterest that he's really not interested in that drink. So that's also what we're doing. We're trying to fulfill a mitzvah by eating in the sukkah. We're trying to give that mitzvah that we want to try to achieve that mitzvah. For of course, every mitzvah we ultimately gear it towards Ribbono Shel Olam. And we're trying to do that mitzvah, and instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting the mitzvah, Kivyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't need that, I don't want that, and there's rain coming. Therefore, a person has to feel a little bit humbled, and a little bit distressed, a little bit disappointed that he's unable to make the mitzvah, and that is the approach and attitude by leaving the sukkah. Not, how exciting. I don't know. I can't explain it. It's not something. I don't understand this Messiah. I don't have respect for it. But I don't know where that comes from. I don't know. It would be interesting to find out. I don't know.
Chabad.
Vadmana. But why is it that the Mahabha was reprimanding us if you want to do?
Yeah, he is.
Some people just don't care about rain.
Yeah, so then he's a chayv, as we learned previously. If he doesn't care, then he's chayv. There was, you know, that's true. There was tzaddikim. That's a partial answer to us saying there was clearly tzaddikim. They didn't feel the rain because there's such a lot for the mitzvah. They literally didn't feel the rain. So those people, they're not exempt, arguably, because not arguably, they are not the chayv because they're not mitzvah.
Whereas those that are potter that remain the sukkah anyway are
if they are potter, then they do it.
That means those who are subjectively bothered by being there and staying there anyway, as opposed to those who are beyond the kind of objective level where a normal person would feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be implying an objective test for it rather than...
No, so we learned previously that it is very, very much depending on the person himself. Yeah. Everybody's got his own threshold. And there are people who are more sensitive to...
Half the family. This probably is more common than that.
Yes, I suppose.
Half the family are bothered by it.
So those are exempt.
Half the family are not bothered.
Yes,
it's
a really good question. I don't know the answer. Initially, I was just answering that everybody depends on every person, but it might not be right. My initial response was that yes, split, the ones who bothered are exempt, the ones who are not bothered are chayev. But we did see previously that, for instance, so even by sleeping in the sukkah, there may be argument that you don't have to split. So kavachoy, when it comes to suda, perhaps there's no obligation to split. So I don't know. It's an interesting question, actually. It's an interesting question. What happens in a family that some are bothered, some are not? I don't know the answer. It's a really interesting shy to that. I don't know. It's interesting.
It's usually the women that go in. Once the temperature reaches a certain, goes below a certain
they level. They go in.
Well, might
yeah.
Older people are bothered by temperature fluctuations.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So they're probably quick. They're exempt. The question is, do you have to, because of that... If the ones who are mitzvah for sure allowed to go in, the question is, are the ones who are having the suda with them, are they also allowed to be nitfal towards them? Probably not.
Rain and everyone runs out. I feel like a bit of a loser.
Yeah.
There's just a drop of rain. It's kind of, it's going to stop in a minute.
Yeah. It is contrary to other places in Shulchan Aruch, because generally, in many places, in countless places in Shulchan Aruch, we find that if you're exempt and you do that extra mile, you do that extra step, you're getting true reward for it. We find this in many places, that there is certain leniences, certain exemptions, and if you still make that extra obligation, that's called Mesirus Nefesh, and that's truly, truly great, and that's rewarded, and that's amazing. We find this in many, many places in Halacha, that if you are exempt and you still want to carry on, that's greatness, that is real, true greatness. Many people that were exempt because of Oynis, because of Pikuach Nefesh, because of whatever it may be, and they're still doing it, that's great. Here we're finding, no, you're just silly. You're a fool. You're exempt. Go home. And it's interesting to know, because it seems that over here it's a little bit different than other places. Now, it's not called Mesiros Nefesh. It's called Hidyoitis. I want to very, very quickly do Siv Ches, despite its importance. I want to cover this quickly. The Shulchan Aruch now says that the final halach in Siman Tov Reish Lamed Ches is that the minig is nagu she'en mevorchin al asukah elo b'shas achila, that the minig is that we only make a bracha of leishay basukah, we only make that bracha when we eat. Now this is an enormous chiddush. Why is this an enormous chiddush? It's an incredible chiddush, and I must tell you, I've struggled to fully understand it. Of course, you're 100% right. Because what's the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah? Yeah, also, again, food always comes into it, of course. But it's not only, if you go and you learn in the sukkah, you mekayim the mitzvah? Sure. What if you sleep in the sukkah, you mekayim the mitzvah? Sure. If you drink in the sukkah, you mekayim the mitzvah? Sure. What about just schmoozing in the sukkah, you mekayim the mitzvah? Definitely. But so you mekayim the mitzvah, whenever you spend time in the sukkah, teshuva came to do, you mekayim the mitzvah. Yet, the bracha is only recited when it comes to eating. Why? Why is it that if I go to sleep in the sukkah, I don't make a bracha? By the way, I'm going to point out, the Vilna Gaon did. The Vilna Gaon, before sleeping in the sukkah, you'd make a bracha. Because that's part of the mitzvah. And it makes so much sense. It's a very straightforward approach. Whenever you go in, you make a teishuk in to do a kind of action, you make a bracha. Why is it when you drink a shahakol, you don't make a bracha leishev? Surely you have a kind of mitzvah. But the minig is, what Shulchan Aruch says, that Noagu she'en mevorchen al asuka ela b'shas achila. Vorchenog. The minig is that we only make a bracha when eating, and even when it comes to eating, it's only what? Certain foods, the more kvistiger, yeah, the moitzin, the mezoines, and that's what the minig is. Rabbi said to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the fact that if it rains, you're allowed to go in. You don't have to go back once you're starting the meal, once you're continuing the meal indoors and it stops raining, you don't have to return to the sukkah. We also discussed the similar question. If you're going inside because of you're in the middle of the sleeping, you go, it's raining and you're going in your house because of the rain, so you don't have to go back. You don't have to go back to the sukkah if it stops raining. In fact, we also spoke about the halacha that the rain, the threshold of rain when it comes to sleeping is different than eating. We spoke about this interesting psak that if a person is sleeping, maybe exempt from all mitzvahs because he's sleeping, so you might be able to take him into the house. And further, we discussed that the way a person is meant to go out of the sukkah if it rains is in a humble way, what's the right word?
I'm looking contrite. For.
Pardon?
Contrite.
Contrite. I don't know the word. What's contrite? No. Contrite. The way you go out of the sukkah is in a humbled way. Humbled is good. Humble way. And finally, we learned and we discussed extensively the halacha. That we learned the halacha that if a person is mekayim the mitzvah in the sukkah, it's great. But you're not going to make a bracha only if you're eating. Only for the eating is when you make a bracha of leishev. Despite the fact that you may be fulfilling the mitzvah, but many other ways, yeshiva sukkah is a large mitzvah, an extensive mitzvah. But the only way you're making the bracha is if you are eating in the sukkah. Okay, this is the halachas of this evening, and we'll continue simon tov for Hashem next week. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.